Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Bureau of Land Management fees, going to the Sun Road, and Indigenous Peoples Day. It's Tuesday, October 15th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The Bureau of Land Management announced last week an increase to drilling permit fees on public lands. The fee increases directed by U.S. Congress also apply to some mineral cost recovery for oil and gas developers. I found out more. A spokesperson for the BLM says the annual fee increases, which took effect October 1st, are, quote, very modest, unquote. The application for permit to drill fee, or APD, increased in price by $180 to $10,230. 24 mineral cost recovery fees were also adjusted based on inflation. The fee increases ranged from $5 to $75. An APD is a non-refundable processing fee collected when an oil and gas developer submits a drilling permit. APDs are required whether or not an application for a drilling permit is approved. The fees cover processing documents for permits, protests, and leases. According to a press release, the BLM collected almost $51 million in APD fees for the 2019 fiscal year. BLM manages more than 8 million acres in Montana and the Dakotas, and more than 47 million acres of federal mineral estate in the three states. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Early snowstorms in northwest Montana have contributed to the deaths of 5 grizzly bears in 1 week on the Rocky Mountain front. The Missoulian reports that a 6th grizzly was put down east of Rogers Pass for killing cattle, pushing the 1 week death toll to 6 and the unofficial annual mortality count to 38 in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem. Last year, a record 46 grizzly bears died in the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem, which includes Glacier National Park, the Bob Marshall Wilderness Complex, and surrounding areas. Grizzly bear specialist Mike Madel of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks says 5 grizzly deaths last week all involved bears that were feeding on cattle killed by snowstorms. 2 bears were hit by a train, and 3 were hit on a nearby highway. After a late September snowstorm closed most roadways in Glacier National Park, including going to the Sun Road, the U.S. Park Service officially deemed alpine sections of the road closed for the season Friday. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The late September snowstorm that shattered snowfall records east of the Continental Divide brought plenty of snow in Glacier National Park as well. That prompted the closure of most park roadways. The western portion of Going to the Sun Road was already closed for road preservation work and was due to reopen September 29th, but road sealant was still curing and prevented plows from working on that section. Continued snowfall also prevented the reopening of eastern alpine sections of the road. The park officially closed alpine sections of Going to the Sun Road for the season Friday. Those sections typically close the third week of October. The park says staff will now begin the process of removing guardrails from the roadway that can be damaged by avalanches. The process typically takes 2 weeks, but with forecasted freezing temperatures and more snow likely on the way, some may be impractical to remove. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Utility regulators from 3 states used nearly identical language in letters urging the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to speed up its study on the effects of upcoming coal-fired power plant closures on the U.S. power grid. The Billings Gazette reports the language appeared to originate from the American Coalition for Clean Coal Energy, a coal lobbying group. FERC is studying whether the U.S. energy grid would remain reliable with closures and whether the government should subsidize some energy sources. The state is considering 5 sites for a new Montana History Museum. Lee Newspapers of Montana reports the possibilities include upgrading the Montana Historical Society building and adding another building nearby, or purchasing property at the former site of the Capitol Hill Mall in Helena. Other candidates include a spot east of St. Peter's Health, land the state owns near the Department of Transportation building on the east side of Helena, and property available for long-term lease near the airport. The 2019 legislature approved an increase in the state's lodging tax to help pay for the project, which would allow the Montana Historical Society to display a larger share of the state's collection. John Lewis, director of the Department of Administration, will make the final decision on the museum's location. Montana still officially celebrates yesterday as Columbus Day, but a handful of cities here have replaced it with Indigenous Peoples Day. Some local leaders refuse to recognize a day that they say glorifies colonialization and mistreatment of Native Americans. Missoula is one of those cities. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien attended an Indigenous Peoples Day celebration there and brings us this story.
Members of the University of Montana's Pacific Islanders Club perform an ancient Hawaiian dance meant to elicit Native Hawaiian people's connection to nature. UM's Indigenous Peoples Day observance was a vivid and colorful celebration of Indigenous peoples from across North America, the Pacific Islands, Mexico, as well as Central and South America. UM student and university student diversity coordinator Joseph Grady helped coordinate Monday's celebration. He's a member of the Blackfeet tribe.
Historically, yes. Christopher Columbus did have a hand in crossing the sea and landing on the shores of around Cuba. But the message is that he didn't discover anything.
Meaning, says Grady?
That we were self-discovered. We were already here. We numbered in the millions, literally. And so it's a message to say that, yeah, Columbus had his thing, but more importantly, Indigenous people did as well.
Grady points out that colonization has always generated plenty of deep and dark problems for Indigenous people, but he adds those same people also have a remarkable history.
Indigenous people have for a long time, in thousands of years, had medicines and languages and governments and systems of interacting, ceremony and celebration as well. And that's the larger part that we celebrate on Indigenous Peoples Day. And that's why we tend to brag about it on a day like this, because it's worth bragging about.
At least 8 states have ditched Columbus Day in favor of Indigenous Peoples Day. Montana's not one of them. During the last legislative session, the state house passed a bill to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. That bill later died in a Senate committee. Opponents said Christopher Columbus did do harm to Native people, but add he has a history worth noting. Missoula joins Harlem, Bozeman, and Helena as cities that no longer recognize Columbus Day. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.